Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 142, part 1, Heavenly Rest Involves Decision. Today is Friday, April 9th, 2010. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's mission is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, and we're located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. If you need food and you live in Minnesota and you're living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations. You can also join our community online. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to the blog, Flickr, the podcast, Life Vantage, YouTube, and Twitter. You can also leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony at Pastor Paul's blog. There you're going to find show notes to the podcast. You can also email me, janina@pastorpaul.org. You will also find scripture links there at the blog. So be sure to join us for both parts on Friday, part one, and on Sunday, part two of Pastor Paul's messages. This is the lineup for the month of April. Our first message, a heavenly rest involves decision. The truth causes battles. Beware the snare. And a profit and loss statement. There you have it, the month of April. Enjoy the podcast. We'll see you back here each week. God bless you.
Tonight's message is entitled, A Heavenly Rest Involves Decision. Tonight we're going to enter into Hebrews 4 and 9. There remaineth therefore a heavenly rest. But before we start, something came to my mind this afternoon. It comes out of Psalm 116 and verse 7. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. A decision is made. A decision to leave struggle, a decision to leave torment, and a decision to leave argument. But notice he calls it his own rest and feels at full liberty to return to it. So on and off for this whole of this year, and especially the last 6 months, I have found myself leaving my heavenly rest, and I've come to the conclusion that by my own free volition, by my own free will now, I shall return unto my rest. I feel at full liberty to do so. And I believe we leave it because of circumstances, but yet it still remains rest. It remains. It's always there. God's never going to take it away. It's a heavenly rest that remains. And here we have the psalmist here. He's ruffled. How many have been ruffled? How many have been ruffled in their minds? You need to be ruffled in your minds. You make a decision. How many have been troubled in their spirit on and off? And I believe as a bird flies away from its nest, so does the soul fly away from God at times. But I believe this, the very moment that we lose our peace in our own experience, we need to hit the road. We need to get on the road again. On the road again. The road to peace and the road to God. For the Lord hath, it goes on, dealt bountifully with thee. Based on my past experiences, I know that when I leave that rest, I must return to that heavenly rest that remains. Not to our own solutions. How many have had solutions? And you go back to the same solution 50 times and it never seems to work out. I'll try that same solution one more time because it's popular to do so. You'll receive counsel on your return back to that same solution every time. But I noticed here when I was reading this and I was pondering on this about the rest of God that it was done in the plural, indicating to me a complete, entire rest at all times. A heavenly rest remains. You out there on the radio, have you been in a state of unrest? So many times we're in a state of unrest. You can be at home and you're in a state of unrest. You're wandering back and forth from one room to the other. You're checking out this. You're going down in the shop. You beat a little bit on some kind of a board down there. Up you go. You turn the boob tube on, you turn the radio on, you try to read the Bible, you try to plan out something, and you're in a state of unrest. Let me tell you from the very many, many experiences I had in my 53 years, you have to make a decision to call your soul to rest, or you'll have none. You have to talk to your soul. I mean, spiritually speaking, speak to your soul power and say, I am returning to the rest that remaineth. I am going to go on with the Lord. Whatever others may speak of the rest of God, only saved souls know what it means, those that have sought the rest of God. Yes, make a decision to return to your rest. It may take you away from people. I talked to a woman. She says, my kids are driving me crazy. Well, I said, then leave them. Go off someplace. They won't know where you're at. Return to the heavenly rest and they'll fight it out. They'll make it somehow. They'll grow up. Sometimes there's a leaving and sometimes there's a pulling away. It might pull you out of popular opinion. Oh, for God, if we can only be honest in our life. Just be honest of what's in our hearts. Say, God, you know this is in my heart. I have no rest to wear that. I sound religious, I act religious, I do all these things, but I have no rest. Why is that? As many times we act out of part that isn't so. We need to return to the rest of God, and that's what we need to do. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. Make a decision to return to the rest of God. But after all, it is your decision. You see people upset and frustrated, white in the face, lips tight, man, they just don't know what they're going to do next. They don't have the rest of God. Someone's upsetting the rest. Huh? Kind of like the crow that comes in and starts biting at the blue jays. And the blue jays, after, you know, and they lose their peace. They lose their rest. Well, Pastor Paul, how do we realize this rest? Oh, how we need a rest from the perplexities of ignorance. What do you mean by perplexities? I mean where there seems to be no way out. You're perplexed. You're mind-boggled. You can't make up your mind. And you're in a state of siege, and you're in a state of unrest. And so many times I see Christians that will not make a decision. They will not do it because it's not popular to make it. And I believe we need to have a rest from the perplexity of ignorance. And don't be ignorant anymore. Just simply return to the rest of God. But I think we need a rest from the vain efforts of self-righteousness and from the disputes of a proud and legal spirit. If you're ever going to lose your rest, you're going to lose your rest when you get into the very vain attempts of self-righteousness and the disputes of a very proud and legal spirit. So many wandering around with this legal spirit, and they have no rest, and they have no peace. And they can't make a decision because it wouldn't be popular, and then their pride would have to come down, and they'd have to admit that everything wasn't just right in their own lives, and they won't go to the rest of God. And I think we need a rest from the very alarms of conscience. And I believe also the very apprehensions of the punishment thereafter. So many times people are wondering and worrying about where they're going and what's going to happen to them. They have no rest in eternal salvation. They can't believe it. Every other day they flip the page or they see something that turns them around, and they're going to hell for sure, for sure, for sure. And they lose the rest of God, which the Bible says in the plural remains forever. But I think we need a rest from the very fruitless struggles of degenerate nature. And that very unaided conflicts with the indwelling sin. Oh my, how people struggle when the sin lives right in. It's indwelling in. And so you try to battle it. You try to fight it. You try to, you know, curb all those thoughts. You try to say, oh, I will not think this. I will not think that. I won't think it. I won't. And you're in a turmoil continually. Men suffer with that all the time. They get legal and they get proud in their spirit, and maybe they have a lust problem. So then they decide they're not going to look at any women, and they're just walking around. Oh, God, you can just see them. They're so bound up, and they look everywhere but the person, you know. And they're bound up with this proud, legal spirit, and you see it all the time. And vice versa. And they need to return to the rest of God and stop trying to self-correct themselves. Rest from the very distraction and the very uncertainties and the indecision of our minds and undetermined choice. So many times there's so many choices to make and we don't know which choice to make. So we lose our peace and we lose our rest. And there's always someone wanting you to do something else than what God has called you to do. And there's always that choice to be made. Make a decision tonight. When you're honest with God and you open your heart up, you say, God, I want to serve you with all my heart and all my mind, all my soul. You find out you're running into a lot of conflict. But you know what, in the end, when you go through the trial of that thing, you're going to have a rest that remains. A rest that remains, I know, as it's my personal testimony to you tonight. Yes, you can have a rest, whatever. Wherever that you see people that are worn out, they're worn out from a lack of rest. Oh, I'm so tired. I'm just a jerk. I'm so tired. Oh, and you see them and they're sitting down and they just look like vomit city. You know what I mean? What's wrong? They haven't learned the rest of the Lord. Haven't learned that, you know, even though that you're bone weary, even though that you're tired, even though that you're in decision making, you can have the rest that... See, the rest still remains. You don't remain in it. But the rest is still there. And it always remains, no matter what happens. It's always there. Oh my God, thank you for that rest that remains. Thank you, Jesus, for the rest that remains. People all over laid off, but no rest. Retired, but no rest. On vacation, but not at rest. They have to go back to work to get rested up. A sit-down job, but no rest. And thank God it's Friday, but no rest. So then it brings us to Hebrews 4:9, says like this. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. And in Hebrews here we have a rest promise. They shall not enter into my rest. This did not only refer to the rest of the land of Canaan because of their unbelief, no. So it still remained, and it remaineth that some must enter in. Therefore, listen to what I'm going to say here tonight. Oh, how the house of God is going to have to learn how to fall into God's rest. Seeing those to whom it was promised did not enter in. And why didn't they? Listen. Because of unbelief. Sometimes you're in turmoil and you can't believe that you can enter into the rest of God. Maybe you listening on the radio have just committed some sin and you don't know you can return to the rest that remaineth in the rest of God. And then someone will come along and say, you don't deserve a rest. Get going. And they'll take out the lash and they'll take out the law and they'll take out the rule and they'll say, get going. So now you're a slave to this thing. Perpetually in chains. Because you don't know that there's a rest that remains. Thank you, Jesus, for the rest that remains. And when you take on that rest that remains, you have a rest to your soul, and your soul starts to rest, and you seek and striving, and you lose the pale pallor and the sit-down puke look. You get up, and even though you haven't slept for 24 hours, you're rested. Your face is rested. It's a glow. It isn't all wrinkled up like some kind of a prune. Because you've learned to come into the rest of the Lord. And because of unbelief. Yet, it says like this, it remaineth that some must enter in. Therefore, he said, there remaineth a rest to the people of God. Believe tonight, you listening on the radio, ready for the crazy farm, come into the rest that remaineth. How many Christians out there, I'm telling you, that are taking pills? They're out here at Anoka State Hospital. They're running around the streets half crazy because they do not have the rest that remains. They haven't learned how to enter in. They haven't learned how to cease from the struggle. My rest, says God. The rest of God. A real rest. What are you doing? Oh, I'm just resting. How do you rest? You don't rest by body position. Of course, that's important. Parade dress. How do you rest? You don't rest. Your mind is still going. The struggle is still going on. No. Hey, I'm talking about the rest of God that remains. In the middle of all sorts of turmoil, and I thought to myself many times in my ministry, I thought, God, I thank you that I still have a rest. I'm resting. Why am I resting? And God spoke to me and says, because my rest remains. It doesn't leave. You can leave it if you want to. It's a choice that you're going to make. You're going to leave it, you're going to be miserable, you're going to be striving, you're going to be out there in left field. Oh, how we need to have the rest of God that remains. Say amen, somebody. Something more beautiful than any other kind of rest. Oh, now in the text, it's talking in the original about the baptism. It's not talking about Sabbath. But the rest of the Sabbath. Not the outward ritual of the Sabbath, which was binding unto the Jew, but to the inward spirit of the Sabbath. A rest on the inside. Talking about that Sunday rest on the inside. Goes on all the time. A lot of times people don't rest at all. And then they go to church and they say, I don't work on Sunday. And they just rest all day. But do they have a rest that remains? No. They're home fighting with the kids. Mad at their wife. Wife mad at the husband. You call that a rest? No, I'm talking about the Sabbath within. An eternal, ever-flowing, ever-growing, on top of it, rest that remains. Now, I'm not talking about being lazy. I'm talking about being on top of it and going, but having a rest in what you're doing. I mean, I'm talking about a rest that has a joy and a delight and peace and power, and that's what the Christian needs, a rest that remains. There remaineth therefore, I like that. Because others have not had it, they haven't had it yet. There remaineth therefore, they're waiting for them. And praise God for it. There remaineth therefore a rest. And of course, we can have this partly here on earth, can't we? We that have, it says, believed do enter into rest. For we have ceased from our own work as God did from His. Now, you aren't saved by work. God sees them and He gave them to you. And it's not by might, it's not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. So now you're moved by the Spirit of God. God is at rest. You are at work, but while you're at work, you're at rest because you're at rest in God, because you're in God, and God is a God of rest. He'll give you rest while you do His work. Hey, it's the easy yoke He puts on you. So many times we get our teeth and do things. I'm going to do this for God, whether it kills me or not. It kills you. Of course, then we're speaking the full fruit will be ours only on the other side of river death. But we can continue to enter in further and further into the rest of God. You know how you do it? All along that road of trial and tribulation, you enter in further. Trials get heavier. Tribulation gets heavier. But you're entering into a deeper rest. The deeper the rest, the heavier the trial. Pretty soon you can't hear all the shouting and all the yelling and all the arguments because you have finally entered into the rest of God. It's just a far echo way back there somewhere. You're beginning to see a light at the end of the tunnel, and you say, I'm going after the rest of the Lord. It remains nothing back here. It says you pick up the plow, you go forward, you don't go back. Keep your eyes ahead, and you go on towards that rest. And hey, there's every demon to hell that try to destroy your peace. Mark it down. But remember that there's a rest that remains. You don't turn around and look at all the confusion. You can go on. Amen. Against all the popular opinion, tell the truth. My God, learn how to tell the truth. How many here in this word? Gonna have to live it. Gonna have to walk it. Further and further we go into this rest. Until the shouting peace destroyers. Now, do you know there's a lot of peace destroyers out there? They just love to destroy peace. Kind of like the pigeons are down there minding their own business and you got this fight little dog. And the birds all have to fly over. Peace destroyed. God, isn't there a lot of those around? Destroyers of peace. But you know what? They become fainter and fainter and fainter as you continue on going towards the rest of them. Let's look at the rest of heaven tonight, number one. First by contrast, and I think then by comparison. First by contrast, first by the best estate of the worldlings and the sinner. Now, I think a lot of times the worldlings have it pretty good, don't you? Sometimes their pots overflow. I had some pots that were overflowing. Money in banks. Money out here, money on Lake Street, money over here. Had it going pretty good. And you'll see them with their barns stuffed full and a bank account that finances the bank. The heart that's full of joy and gladness. And you say, well, hey, you see this guy suffering at all. And I believe there are periods even then when they flourish like a willow by the river. When farm is added to farm and house is added to house and when he pulls down his barns and builds greater barns, the Bible says. When there are rivers of joy, crowds his banks, and he's just so happy and everything is coming up roses. Even when the ocean of his life is at high tide, floods him with joy and blessed things. But listen, it can never be compared with righteousness. No way. You know why? Because it's so superior, it's so fantastic, it's so far surpassing that worldly peace and that worldly rest. Worldlies can have it all. They can have all the fame and all the money and everything, but it can be called away in a minute by what? Death. He remembers death that may call him at any moment, sooner or later, and that kills his rest. What are you going to do when you die? And then he looks around and goes, oh, I got all this. I can't die now. What would it be if death were to come and say, sometime, now this, you have everything, and death comes and says, sometime within the very near future, you are going to lose it all. I can't tell you what heartbeat it's going to be. It could be number 3 or number 1,000,003. How much rest would he have? He'd be counting every heartbeat, wouldn't he? 1,000,002, 1,000,003. Huh? There is no rest outside of the rest of God, and there is no rest that remains. Only remains is the rest of the Lord. And he thinks to himself, soon I'm going to have to leave it all. I'm going to have to leave this great big Ponderosa. I'm going to have to leave all my stallions and all of this race horses, and I have to leave the swimming pool and pianos and carpet and the wine and woman and song, and I'm about to leave it all. Does he have any rest? I'll have to trade it all in for a coffin and 6 feet of dirt at the Shady Rest graveyard. The kind of rest do you have? Not so with a righteous man. He that has obtained an inheritance which is undefiled and fadeth, and I'm talking on and on, fadeth not away. Now that means it never fades away. The blood of Jesus Christ that saves you will not fade. It's just as powerful as the day you were washed. The day that you go, if you go 100 or 1,000, or if you were to live 1,000,000 years from now, the blood is powerful. He knows that there's no possibility at all, none whatsoever, of ever losing his joys. Of course, if he does, it's his own choice. People lose their joy every day. It's of their own choosing. They lose their joy because they aren't giving joy away. They're giving some kind of condemnation, some kind of a freaky thing. I don't know where it comes from. Probably out of hell itself. But he has no fear of dissolution, no fear of the coffin, no fear of Satan and demons. And I think a lot of times we blame things on demons. Everything is demon-possessed. Everything. What do you think of this little article? I don't think nothing of it. Bless it. Bless that thing in Jesus' name and keep it and put it on the shelf. You know that? There's people losing their peace all the time. They're throwing things away in the garbage and they're trying to find peace. Well, this is why I don't have no peace. There's an owl in here. And we talked about that sometime back. Well, we talked about it and we said, well, not, yeah, that's an owl. God made that owl. But they use it for occults. I said, well, they use people too. What are you going to do with them? Throw them in the garbage? And all this kind of thing. And I got into that too. And I had the answer for it. That's why I knew the answer, because I went through my whole house throwing everything away. Oh, there's an owl. Ooh. Get it. Huh? And you get so that, well, I did. And you know what? I was trying to find peace by throwing things. But remember, I come over to your house, and Dean, remember, this is a long time back. And he says, well, what do you think of these things here? I said, well, this isn't of the Lord. And, you know, so proud. Throw that away and this and that and this and that. Pretty soon they had just had a little stool to sit on. They had nothing left. Thanks a lot for nothing. But they had left. Nothing. But it didn't bring me no peace. I threw everything away, just like we throw everything away in our lives. I'll get rid of this. I'll get rid of that. I'll get rid of these friends. I'll get rid of this. I just get rid of everything. And then I'll have rest. No. I'm talking about, I'm talking about the rest that remains on the inside. And you can have it. If you can believe for it. Oh my. See, with all his joys at all times, there's always a worm eating at the very root of them. You have all these different things, you have everything, and all of a sudden a sick feeling comes. Hey, some one of these days I'm going to die. Here we see last week, Ricky Nelson and several other young people. I call young people. Isn't that something? Now they're young people to me yet. But I'm really getting old. You understand what I'm saying here? World, I got to ask you a question. Maybe you're sitting listening to radio day with your wife, and your wife is praying for you, or vice versa. When the party's over, don't you feel empty? There's a song like that. The party's over, my friend. And when the ashtray, let's say, is full in your brand new Cadillac, doesn't it lose its magic? When your so-called friends go home and they walk out with a garbage bag full of articles from your home, doesn't that just sort of sadden you? Huh? When your friends end up with herpes and AIDS, and now herpes is beginning, it's a joke now. They got herpes club. Isn't that sad? And AIDS, and now I see some kind of, you go in the store, you can't help but see them, the Inquirer, you can't help but say that AIDS, some kind of germ warfare. Well, what's the germ? Two guys getting together? I mean, I don't understand. Oh, how the homosexual and that how'd you like it? The divorce and the psych wards and the fried brains and the alcohol shakes? How empty. I remember myself waking up on the toilet floor, arms wrapped around the stool. All white, sick, shaking, how empty and how lonely. What a deception. What an illusion. And you get up and try to get yourself together and say, hey, let's go party. And then look at the party. Now, you want a rest that remains out there, and I'm talking from an experience. Think of what you're going to miss if you miss heaven. You're going to get a brand new, beautiful body. I put my order in several years ago. 9 foot tall and a lot of hair. Crown. A house that will never decay. Peace. Oh, peace. Continual contact with God. Joy and continual rest. Don't be a spendthrift with your life. You're not born again. Get born again. Listen to what I'm saying here today. Don't sell your soul so cheaply for a merry old dance through this world. Maybe. Why hold on to the shadows then and lose the substance, the Bible says. I wonder how many are going to wake up in hell and say, boy, time went by so quickly before I knew that I was here. How cheaply I sold out my soul. What a poor price that I paid. I've lost my palace, and I've lost my joy, and I've lost my bliss and my rest, and I am forever walked in here into hell because I didn't say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Come into my heart and save me. Lord, I need you. And then start to think back. Let me think back. What did I lose my soul for? Sex and perversion and drunkenness and friends that really didn't love me at all, hated my guts probably. Now at the very danger of sounding negative, let me contrast the rest of the believer against the sometimes miserable estate of the believer here below. Oh, I know I sound negative to some Christians. I guess so. But Christians do have sorrows. Don't you? No, I just won't confess it. I refuse to confess that I have a sorrow in the world. I've never been defeated. And I have no sorrows. How unreal it is. I mean, it's fake. I mean, if you got sorrow in your heart, it's going to show up on your mug, right? Did you ever try to act like you didn't have no sorrow? You end up looking like the preacher that just come out of, I don't know where they come out of, but they come out of somewhere, and they got these bowl haircuts, and they just look terribly gooky. They don't have no peace. They have no rest. You understand what I'm saying here? And you can't act out something that isn't in your heart. You can't do it. That's why you have to be honest with God. Well, I counsel with people and they say, well, no, no, this happened and that happened. Praise God, I've been praying for 50. I said, what's in your heart? What's in your heart? What you mean? And you know, if you tell me what's in your heart, and you confess it before the Lord, you'll get free, because the truth will set you free. Did you know that? And hardly anybody will tell what's in your heart. The only way you can get free and have the rest of God is be honest with God and say, God, this is in my heart. And you know what? That's real. I'm living right inside of it. Who do you think gives you revelations? Who do you think tells you, tell the truth, and I'll give you the rest that remains? And so we walk around with our bowl haircuts and our Bibles, and we're all sort of weird. Anyway, yeah. Don't know nothing about the psalmist, the rest of David. You can look all over for it. And I spent a good deal of time with no rest in my life at all, half free. Almost 40 years before I got born again. Working from the time I was 9 years old with every whore and everything, everything else. During the war. And I guess I grew up in Savvy City. Are you savvy? And what I remember back on all of that, there is not one iota of rest out there. And Christian, until we get real with God, we are going to have no rest. You're going to have sorrows, Christian, in this world. I didn't say lay down and die. Suns have spots, doesn't it? Aren't there a few clouds in the sky? And you're going to have some sorrows, too. How would you ever have any joys without some sorrow? The Bible tells us that. First the suffering and then the joy. See, because if you didn't have any suffering, how could you work up to any kind of joy? There wouldn't be such a word. Or you might walk around, everybody, all in tune. What do you got? I don't know. But when you have the opposite, and you come to the other end of it, and the Bible says first the suffering and then the joy, and you get to that, then you attain that joy. And then you experience coming into it all of the time. It's a joy that remaineth. It's a peace that remaineth. It's a rest that remaineth on the inside. It's a rest that remains. It's a sabbatism. It's a Sunday on the inside. It's a day of rest on the inside. Doesn't have to have conditions just perfect. You have the rest that remains. Sometimes I almost feel sinful.